Hello and welcome to the North Country Food Shed podcast. Today's topic will be farm to table, and in this episode we will be discussing how local organizations are sustainably contributing to the St. Lawrence Food Shed. I'm one of your hosts, Lydia Fedorowicz, and with me I have
Alejandra Altamirano
and
Serge Avery.
The three of us are first-year students at St. Lawrence University and reach out to three community organizations: the Potsdam Food Co-op, Harvest Kitchen, and Big Spoon. Through a series of interviews, we were able to interpret how local initiatives in the farmer table movement cultivate community and sustainability. We will listen from Andy, Flip, and Will, our interviewees, and what they told us about their organizations, how they engage with the community, and contribute to the development of interconnection in the local food system.
My name is Andy Pete. I've been a native to Potsdam for almost my entire life. I've worked at the Potsdam Food Co-op since 2008, and I've recently become the general manager starting in January of this year, and it's been an interesting year.
My name is Maria Filippi. I go by Flip, and I have two jobs. At our home farm, Little Grass Community Farm, we do a CSA. And then I also work for Canal Cooperative Extension of St. Lawrence County. And my position there is local foods program leader. And I'm also the manager of a shared use kitchen there called the Harvest Kitchen.
And Will Trithart from Big Spoon Kitchen.
And was given the opportunity to start this business with my mom, who actually was retiring had just retired the year before, and had always had a passion for food. So we teamed up and I brought some more professional skills, and she brought a lot of passion and funding, honestly, to start the kitchen, because, you know, a lot of money goes into starting a business. So we do a weekly menu every week with about 10 to 12 different dishes on it, all featuring local products. And we deliver and have pickup for over 100 families a week. Our main mission is to bring local food into people's homes through prepared foods.
We will make sure to define some important concepts, such as sustainability and food shed, concepts that we have been working with in our class, but will be important to you, our listeners, to know about when listening to this episode. A food shed is all the different moving parts within a location and its food system. It is the growing, sourcing, and consumption of our food.
Sustainability is defined as the avoidance of the depletion of natural resources in order to maintain an ecological balance in the Oxford Dictionary. But if we look at this in the big picture of our global food system, we see that the infrastructure of our industrial, agricultural is everything but sustainable. There's simply a lack of intimacy with our food. So we ask Flip to describe sustainability from the mindset of a farmer.
Philosophically, I would say sustainability in terms of its definition relating to, like, the resilience. If you're looking at community resilience, even the concept of an incubator space is intended to be more resilient. So a lot of food business, there's a very high failure rate for food businesses. Like, there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of upfront costs, there's a very steep learning curve. And so the idea of being able to have a space that then has technical assistance, so myself as a manager works with people to help them, the learning curve not be so steep about what you need to do to operate successfully. So that resilience, I think, is a form of sustainability. Instead of expecting, in a very small rural region of northern New York, instead of expecting everybody to gain all of those skills in their own little orbits, being able to share some of our resources and our knowledge and our infrastructure is a way to create more durability, which I think does relate to sustainability.
And to see what sustainability looks like at a business, we talked to Andy and had him describe what sustainable practices they use at the Potsdam Co-op.
In our operation, that is part of our principles. It's you know, it's still challenging running a business that way, but we do what we can. We purchase power from Northern Power and Light, a local hydropower. We have a pretty sophisticated composting system that's maintained by one of our member owners who's been doing it for 30 years or so. Just any way we can is really any opportunity that we can take advantage of, we go for it. You know, supplies that can be sourced from food rather than disposable plastic and stuff like that. So like some of our soup cups, spoons, forks, those kind of things, wherever possible, we try to find the eco-friendly, smarter choice for them, if available. Well, I think the main focus is always local. And then from there, you're also looking at growing practices, food ethics. I think the first choice is between those two is going to be local, and then when you have a local product, the next thing you want to focus on is it being clean, free from being treated with pesticides, chemicals, livestock that is free range, free of injection.
Kind of one of the reasons why we made this business is to create a market for abundance, so that people are more willing to kind of produce more and just, you know, push the limits of their garden or their farm, knowing that there's someone willing to pay for, like, that recognizes the value of a freshly harvested anything. We definitely keep it super tight. I mean, we buy a lot from a few number of farms just because it's easier to not have to run around to 15 farms. Like, we buy 80% of our produce from 3 farmers, but they're all within 15 miles. Up here, I think it is apolitical. I for some reason, we think about it as kind of a left issue, local food, sustainability. But anyone I've talked to, and we've had customers that are not from the left and done classes where people come in from all walks of life, there is common ground. Like, yes, we should eat stuff from local farms. We should buy meat from our neighbors. We shouldn't buy it from some plants in Iowa. Like, it almost feels like everyone is in agreement on this topic. It's just a matter of, like, making those cultural changes. Like, you can't, Walmart's never going to sell local beef because they have their structured supply chain. So we have to kind of get away from thinking about Walmart as a place to get food.
As part of the essence of these initiatives, we can see there is a great importance in the relationships and connections between producers, the managers and owners, and the consumers. We asked our interviewees how they see their organizations act as key supporting roles to the interactions in the community. This is what they said.
The Harvest Kitchen, its true purpose is meant to integrate as much as possible into the local food system. So whether it's a food entrepreneur or a farmer, value adding, that it's the intention is to make the most of the things that are grown in this region. If people don't have really solid knowledge about how to actually use whole ingredients, so whether it's a grain or it's a vegetable or it's a piece of meat, if they don't have a really solid knowledge of that, then every time they go to cook, it's going to feel like work. But if you have a really solid basis, then it can be fun and you could do things with your friends. Yeah. Or have big potlucks or teach your kids or make it fun. I would say that the goal is to be a gathering place for people who do want to either deepen or broaden or improve their business, or they want to deepen or broaden their connection to local food and seasonality. That it's a place that we can all do that. So whether it is a business person or it is a consumer, that can be a central plate in that network of the whole food system that can allow that. So whether it's the hands-on cooking class or the technical assistance class or actually using the kitchen to produce your food for your business, that the goal would be that it's a hub that people can find answers or make deeper connections to keep forward with what their goals are around like seasonal and local eating. So cooperative extension in St. Lawrence County exists on a learning farm. So instead of us, you know, just being in an office building with educators being, you know, just going out into the field. So I'm in the agriculture department and I work at the learning farm. In the summer, there's a farm day camp. And during the school year, there's a BOCES Ag Academy. And they have, so basically the learning farm is a place for people to see agriculture at any age, essentially. So during the school year, when we have the Ag Academy, that's a junior and senior high program, or the farm day camp in the summer, they get to do stuff in the kitchen too. So they get to learn to do preserved food. They get to, you know, harvest basil from the high tunnel and then come into the kitchen to make pesto, or even raise their own chickens and then butcher them and then actually package and process them in the kitchen. So that's another way, you know, starting early, I'd say, if you're thinking about what does it take to have a resilient or sustainable locally based food system, having opportunities for people at every age to actually engage. So it shouldn't just be for the people that have, you know, enough money, quote unquote, to buy local food, or it shouldn't just be for the people, you know, that have some disposable income, or just for the people that have space to grow food on their own. It should be accessible for everybody at all ages. Mm-hmm. And that looks like a lot of different programming and services throughout someone's life or their experience. So I would say we interact with a lot of different community members in different ways, depending on what their relationship is to agriculture or the food system and where they want to get to.
I definitely want to see Big Spoon more as like a hub where people learn about not only cooking, but eating and sourcing and getting to know the people that produce food. Because even when you buy it at a farm stand or a grocery store, you don't often meet the person growing it. We buy hundreds and hundreds of pounds of vegetables every week from local farmers. And I think that there's always more we can do to create the connections, but we're trying to figure that out. We have a new employee that used to be the manager of the food co-op in Potsdam. And his main role is visioning, like, how can we do better? How can we engage more?
We believe the combination of these two concepts, community building and sustainability, result in the essence of the Farmer Table movement. Basing the ideals of locally sourced consumption in the pursuit of proximity, food security, self-reliance, and sustainability. We will now listen how these three initiatives work with the Farmer Table movement in the North Country.
So farm to table is a pretty generic term. I mean, I mm-hmm. think in its general sense, it's meant to, you know, shorten the distance. The idea you were talking about food miles.
Yep.
So it's meant for, you know, food are the things that we are eating, not to be faceless or nameless, that we understand where they came from.
We also learned from Flip and Will that there are many challenges in the farm to table movement.
It's about connecting the dots a little bit. So we talked about the food system being multi-layered, but there's just kind of a lot of behind the scenes stuff that's maybe not as glamorous as, you know, eating a delicious meal or like going out and having a farm to table experience. There's a lot of the behind the scenes that makes it possible. So making sure that new entrepreneurs have the skills that they need to actually make that happen and make their business succeed. I think that's really essential for our business to be able to, I mean, for example, if you wanted to make apple pies and you wanted to sell them to the public, there's a lot of rules around those things. So if you're just baking a pie and it has two crusts, like it has a bottom and a top crust, you could legally make it in your home kitchen. Like I could make a pie in my home kitchen. I could bring it to the farmer's market and I could sell it. But if I wanted it to maybe be only a one crusted pie, like I only want a bottom crust, or maybe I want to sell it to a restaurant, it's no longer legal for me to make it in my home kitchen. Or if I want to, and that would be a specific type of license. And then, or if maybe you want to wholesale it and you want your apple pies to be frozen and like distributed all across the Northeast, that's actually a whole different type of license. So I think one of the roles that I see is to help people, instead of everything being a headache, like, oh my gosh, the rules and regulations, and how do I do this, and how do I distribute this, or where can I get these labels or these bottles, or where, you know, who are my suppliers going to be? Instead of every individual entrepreneur having to wrestle all those questions and feel kind of alone in the process, being a technical assistance provider and having the education on to distribute to people, so whether it's a workshop or one-on-one, helping them with some of that behind-the-scenes stuff that's not particularly sexy or glamorous, but it's what helps make businesses succeed to actually really elevate our local food system and have something beyond our short growing season, have more products, have more businesses, and just have a more thriving culture that then in turn the consumer can enjoy. Because the consumer element is very important, but supporting those entrepreneurs so they actually can keep producing and doing what they love, and it's not a huge headache or it's not endless barriers. So I think that's one of the main things I see as my role, helping people keep moving forward and not have to feel like they're doing it alone. Another thing that I do in my job as local food program leader is provide support to farmers that are looking to get their products known more, essentially. So even if they're not using our harvest kitchen, for example, last year we offered free professional photo shoots to all of the direct market farmers in the county. So if they wanted to get, you know, high quality, it's not usual as a small diversified farmer that you'd have the money to, you know, hire a professional photographer to take good images for your promotional materials or for your website, or to communicate about your products. And we actually last year visited 65 different farms in the county and offered them free professional photo sessions. And then they have full access to the photos if they want to use them however they like. And then Cooperative Extension also has access to those. So it's another kind of like notch in the larger puzzle of how to communicate about local food and how to have compelling images to share that so that consumers know where to find it and what to do with it, and get excited about that process.
When you want to eat local, that means you have to eat seasonally, unless you process and freeze stuff, which we do. But in general, still, you want to cook with the seasons as they come. So there's always a new product coming in season, and we just try and, you know, maybe year after year, we do a lot of the same things during the same times of year. But throughout the whole year, we usually do probably 1,000 different dishes on our weekly menu. And really the only thing holding people back on the diversity of their dishes is their creativity and their experience and their willingness to try something new. Like the connection between food and humanity is like this really important connection that really boils down to like this. It's like the root of all of our problems, really, in a way. I mean, how do we feed ourselves and maintain our healthy bodies? We do a horrible job as a society of doing that. And that's when I kind of got awoken to that reality that it's just, you know, corporate food is not about keeping us healthy or stewarding the planet. It's just about making money. So I think that we're at the beginning, I hope, of a movement towards tighter, bigger food sheds. And I don't want to be the only one, but we definitely, as far as other restaurants and food businesses, we are the one I think that's most committed to local food. So we have to kind of get away from thinking about Walmart as a place to get food, and kind of redefining our kind of habits and what we do, how we acquire food. So I don't think that Big Spoon is going to be like the solution to everything, because A, it's not in everyone's price point, and B, I think that people should cook at home. I don't want people just to eat Big Spoon all day. And so I think that the panorama of local food and farm to table, I think it's going to take a lot of people coming together. It's going to take a lot of people who know how to cook to offer that service to help others, because we've just lost it, like as a society.
These three organizations, a food co-op, the community kitchen, and a business, reflect three very important and particular subjects and actors in the food shed.
We have heard about their roles in raising awareness by their example in sustainability and local sourcing. We also learned about their initiatives and strategies of engagement with their customers and providers, and how evidently they impact change in the community. All in all, we have been able to witness the passion and compromise of three of the main characters of the North Country food chain. They are indeed already contributing to shorten our food chains, but a big part of the advancement in the farm-to-table movement relies in our decision-making as consumers.
One reflection we want to leave our listeners with is the idea of how can we start building these connections in food sheds around us? What are the challenges for us as students when having some limited control over the institutionalized food systems, and how we can advocate for more local sourcing?
Thank you so much to our interviewees, and thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned as much as we did. Buy local and stay healthy.